Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hello, Kelly.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm excited for a story.
Oh, you're excited for a story?
I am.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to jump right in then. So this is a client that sits over Zoom, and her name is Tina. And I made up name. I think everybody knows we always make up names, but just in case this is your first time listening to the podcast, made up name. And she just says to me at the very beginning, I just want to hear from the spirit guides. I don't want medium. I'm open to all kinds of other things, but I'm not here for medium. I really want to hear from the guides. And so that's cool. I say to the guides, okay, you guys are on. So what's she looking for? Or what do you want to share? Because sometimes they go together. Sometimes they don't. You find out as the client gives you feedback, right? If they give you feedback. And the guide said, well, she's wanting to know a couple of things. And one of them is it has to do with spiritual attacks. She wants to know who's spiritually attacking her. And the question has to do with, is it human spiritually attacking her? Is it I want to say psychic attacks. And I'm learning some things here in this session with her, because some people are going to say, well, isn't it just humans? And then other people in different levels of what they call spirituality believe that there are other beings that are attacking them, like evil spirits. Mm-hmm. And then others, yet again, believe that it's coming from interdimensional beings. Other people believe that it's coming from different aspects of themselves in other concurrent lives. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of different ways that people believe that there are energetic attacks. And I guess you can use a bunch of different terms for these, right? So I had to really listen to what the guides were saying and all of the different ideas. And I said, well, which one? And they said, well, she's not sure, because in her spiritual excursions in life or experiences, she's met a group of people and different groups of people through the decades that have come up with different versions of this. So she's actually feeling very confused and actually doesn't know. And I said, go on, tell me a little bit more. I'm still confused and I still need more clarity to talk to her. And they said, well, over the decades, she's actually paid different energy healers and workers and spiritual people directly and indirectly. And I'm like, what does that mean, directly and indirectly? Well, she's booked appointments with them directly, and indirectly, she's gone to like group events where they're doing a group meditation, and somebody has approached her and said, in the meditation, I see you've been psychically attacked. Well, she didn't know that at that time. Somebody is telling her these things. Oh, I see your aura, and it looks a little off color. It's not pinky. And she's like, what does pink mean? So she's not getting enough information, but she's getting some information that's causing a level of what the guides are referring to as anxiety over all of this in life. And I said to the guides, oh my God, let me bring all of that up first then and ask her, make sure all of this is accurate for me. So I asked Tina and I said, hey, the guides are talking like that you've had this stuff going on for decades, and this is something that's like really playing on your mind right now. And she went 100%. She said, I was really hoping that they were going to bring this up without me having to ask. And she says, Karen, I don't mean this to be mean or to be testing you, but I really needed just to sit here just to see, like, will somebody understand what it is that's going on in my head? And will somebody be able to, like, pull this all apart for me? And the ultimate test then, of course, she says, is to not say anything and is just to show up and have you get this information and then be able to say to me, she says, because right now, just what you've said to me, I feel like I can freaking breathe. And she says, because I feel like I've been holding my breath since, like, and I didn't realize that since all of these people have been saying these little things to me. And I said, yeah, I said, you get a lot of spiritual people coming up to you, saying things that you don't understand. And she goes, go on. And I said, where they say general things or things that cannot be explained, or they say it in such a way that they don't offer you an explanation. So they might say something to you like your aura is off, or there's something attached to you, or there's a cord coming out of your back. But if you, or you're not, your shade of blue is kind of gray.
Because it's called a hook.
Yes.
They hook you with your intrigue. Now they've got power over you.
Yeah.
So that they can tell you something that you need.
Yeah.
And then you want from them.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. They're frauds. So she answers that and she says, yeah. And I said, this is happening repeatedly to you. But one of the things that the guides are saying is that you avoid confrontation. And she goes, she just kind of laughs. She goes, okay, what's that got to do with this? Oh, go ahead, Kelly.
Well, we could take this in a couple different directions. Like, this is false belief number 5 of the false beliefs of the people pleaser, which is if I act naive and innocent, then I won't have to grow up. And I'm not attacking Tina, just to be clear. This is an unconscious belief system that we adopt, right? As a way of surviving. So when they say that she doesn't do conflict, which is also number 7 and 8 of the false beliefs of people pleasing, then these statements are coming at her from these ignorant, not well-intended people. Part of the acting naive and innocent is that she assumes other people know better than her. She assumes people know more than her instead of deciding, I will educate myself about what that means. I will decide for myself if I believe in what they're saying instead of just believing everything that is said to me. So I don't have to grow up. This person who has given me bad intel or just what she believes is intel, I then give all my power over to, and hopefully they'll take care of me so that I won't have to, right? This is how that false belief plays out.
Yeah.
And then when you say, when you deliver the message, well, you avoid conflict, how that is playing out is right in that behavior of, I'll assume they know more than me. I'm not willing to confront that what you just said to me made me uncomfortable. I'm not willing to confront the fact that I didn't invite that information.
Yes.
That I, you never asked me, you know, if that was a boundary for me. You just came up and said these things to me and then told me what I need. Like, this is a people-pleasing behavior.
Yeah.
And that will play right into the hands of people who want to abuse power.
Yeah.
Who want to take advantage of you.
Yeah. And so the guy, thank you. You did such a great job of explaining it. And let's add right
well,
now.
Well, I'm gonna add this. You take a pause for a second here. I'm gonna say this is exactly what the fake Instagram accounts are doing to our followers.
Yes.
Because, and we know, guys, like we know that they're out there. Thank you for alerting us. I'm so sorry that it is happening to you. But they reach out with exactly what we're talking about to say, hey, I got a message from the universe or a message from one of your loved ones. I just feel drawn to you, that I need to do a reading for you. That is a power over.
Yep.
That is exactly why we do not approach people and say, we need to do a reading for you. Yeah. We say, if you want one, come to us.
Yes.
We're not going to hold power over you.
That's
and
right.
Say, you need me.
Exactly. They have to go to our website, fill out the form, put their Visa card in to make a payment. And they have to do that all on their own terms.
Yeah. You have to have the desire. You have to seek it out.
That's right.
We aren't going to hold a power over you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the guides, okay, thank you very much for explaining all of that. And going back to Tina, the guides came in and said, you have a pattern of avoidance. And it's tied to your pattern of people pleasing. And they gave her the book by Beverly Angell, The Nice Girl Syndrome, which you perfectly gave examples from, and you actually pointed out in her book the exact numbers of the false beliefs of the people pleaser. They did not give her the exact ones in the session. You did. So let's just say you did a good job of that for the listeners today.
Thanks.
And that way they have the resources to go, ah, shit, that's me. I almost got hooked in by, you know, whatever that person. There's one person that's got four false accounts on us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the guides say to Tina that her willingness, her pattern of avoidance goes right back to childhood. And they take her back and they start talking to her in her session about her relationship with her parents and how whenever, as a child, she says what her needs are or she says what her hopes or her dreams or what she thinks or her opinion, or she even offers facts.
She shows up as she.
Yeah, she just shows up as Tina, that they do all of the forms of verbal abuse to diminish her, you know, divert from what she's saying, all of the forms of verbal abuse.
Which breaks your spirit.
Yes. And so here's this broken spirit in an adult now that, and she's, and what the guys were saying is that she's avoiding stepping into her, like learning who she is and engaging with herself.
Which is understandable.
Yes.
I need people to hear that part too, right?
Absolutely.
Like, just because the guides are saying like, this is the pattern, this is what you do, and this is what you're avoiding, there is always so much compassion in there because when you hear about how she has been conditioned, well, doesn't it make the most amount of sense that she has learned not to step up, not to confront, not to do these things, right? I hope people hear that. Right? It's not just a pointing the finger and saying, you're doing this and you're doing that.
Yes. So the guides have that conversation with her, and actually they said that it is understandable, it is reasonable. They used a whole bunch of similes to give her the time to absorb.
I don't think you know what a simile is, but go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. What's the right word?
A simile is when you
synonyms.
Compare. Okay.
Sorry.
You use that word. I don't think you know what it means.
You would be right. I don't, you know what, Kelly? Homework tonight. Look up simile. Synonym is the word. Oh, your coffee smells.
You're cute like a button.
Okay. Okay, I get it now.
All right.
Cool. Oh, point made. Your coffee smells so good. I wish I drank coffee again.
It smells better than it tastes.
Okay. Yeah, it's bean water, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the guides come in and simply say or say to her in a whole bunch of ways that it is reasonable, it is understandable. Take a breath. It's okay that you feel like this. It's normal given what you've been through, mm-hmm. But it is an unhealthy normal, and that's how they kind of get into and get her attention. What? And I said, yeah, it's called a normal because it's all that you've known. And now you're looking at brothers and sisters that have been raised the same way as you, and it's normal within your family as well. And then you pick a husband where this is normal, and you have friends where this is normal. And she went, oh, I see what you're saying. She says how this becomes my normal. And she said, but it's unhealthy normal. So she said, so you're telling me that there are people out there that weren't raised this way, that have a healthy normal, and that I'm not there. And I said, yeah, I said, I call it being on an island, meaning that you grew up on an island, you know, that family created one, and then you bring people in to substantiate that that's the truth of the people on the island. And I said, and now you're learning that there's another island and that you might be interested in the people on that one instead. And she said, hell yes. Why would I want to keep living like this? She says, I'm freaking miserable and I've got body pain and I can't sleep. And she says, I've got a ton of problems. And she says, and I've got anxiety and I feel like I'm heading into a depression and menopause. And I said, oh boy. I said, then it sounds like you're right on track that like it's chaos, right? And she said, I am in it.
Why'd you say right on track?
Right on track for her growth to come out of it. So she's on track in terms of the spirit world saying she's at that point where it's building so high. There's so many things that are wrong. There's so much drama. There's so much body pain. So little sleep. So
she's coming to a head.
Foods. Yeah, but I want to explain some of them. She's eating foods that are not healthy for her, though she knows they're not healthy. So like there's all of these areas in life she's sabotaging some purposely, some subconsciously, as a result of her emotions being dysregulated. Mm-hmm. Why are they all dysregulated? Because everything around her is unhealthy. So the guide said she's right on track, meaning she's here sitting in front of you talking to us, and we want to put her in the direction and on the track of getting to that island where it's healthy. Mm-hmm. So I had a little conversation with her about that and said, hey, the guides are saying this. Is this how you feel at this point? Do you want that, or do you want to end the session, or do you want to change subjects right now? What do you want? Where are you at? And she goes, oh my God, you're actually asking me? And I said, we sure are. And I said, because if I sit here and spend the next half hour giving you the tools to get to Healthy Island, and you, it's blah, blah, blah to you, and you're so content with your pain, and you're so familiar. And she goes, no, I wouldn't do that. And I said, well, how much do you like your home? And she goes, what do you mean? And I said, are you willing to leave it? Are you willing to move out? No. I said, well, that's what I mean by, are you willing to do the work to get to the other island? You may have to live in a different home. Well, I really like my home. I said, well, yes, but there are lots of homes, and there are other homes that are as nice as yours and nicer than yours. And you know that as a fact, right? Yes.
Okay. Can we just?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah. You're giving one example, and I don't want anyone to think that they have to move out of their house to do this dirty work.
Right.
We're saying that change has to happen.
Exactly.
And that change can look like a lot of different things. I just did a discovery call, I think last week, where someone said to me, if I do this coaching program with you, like, you're not going to like end my marriage, right? I don't have to like divorce my husband. And I was like, I'm not making that promise to you. I'm not going to make that your homework. But you, right, as a result of your healthy tools, may in fact realize it's the healthy island or staying married.
Yeah, it can be anything. Yeah.
And I'll just point out that that's also false belief number 10.
Of the people pleaser.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So like you have to, there's a beautiful quote, I'm going to butcher this, but it is out there. You have to be willing to give up the life that you know to have the one that you want.
Yes.
Especially when we're looking at health as the option moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there was a wonderful conversation with her around that the spirit guides are not going to force it on her, that I'm not going to force anything on her, that authors of books, therapists, no one's forcing, nobody. It's all just being presented to her in the session with her spirit guides after choosing open that she wanted to hear, that there were all of these choices that she had, and that including the fact that she would sabotage some of them by saying, I can't give up my house, without considering that there are all kinds of beautiful homes and some of them as nice or nicer than the one that she's in.
Why is the house a fixation?
It goes to perfectionism. And this was really important in the session. You've asked a great question, Kelly. We had a great big talk, and I mean the guides and her, in terms of the fact that all through this life, she's focused on the perfection of her house, the gardens, the lawns, the inside of the house, the paint. So
projecting an image of herself onto the world of success.
Yes. And this was part of the avoidance, another aspect of where she avoids. So instead of dealing with what she really needs to deal with, it's easier to go garden, it's easier to go mow the lawn, mm-hmm. Whatever it is, paint another room, tear out another cupboard,
and yeah,
remodel something, go get another couch. Like,
well, interesting, because yeah, like you've got different issues in there. It's not just perfectionism.
Yeah.
It's also distraction. That's the, yes, avoidance, right?
Yes. And she also, there was also, I believe the spirit guides talked to her about her, like an addiction to spending.
Okay. So can you Okay, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. Can you also bring us back to the fact, like, can you tie this together in terms of, you know, people initially are telling her about spirits attaching and attacking? Can we talk more about that?
Yes. So all of the avoidance was that the spiritual people were saying that she was attacked instead of, and she wanted to believe that instead of actually doing the work on herself. Instead of actually dealing with, I need to see some changes in my life.
Oh, okay. I don't like this. Can we like spell this out more for people?
Yes.
So first of all, these are not spiritual people. These are egotistical spiritual narcissists.
Yes,
okay?
That's right.
Who are giving off or giving literally bad intel to this individual who is vulnerable. So this to me isn't, you were listening to spiritual people instead of doing your work. This is, these people see you as vulnerable, see that you're going to give them your power. They are approaching you with not great intentions. Then what's really happening is that you are so out of touch with your own self that you're willing to listen to the bad intel instead of actually, and I say this kindly, growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because it's not just a A and B thing. Like,
oh, no.
There's a middle situation.
There was conversation around each of the aspects with the guides. You just got in quicker and better than I do.
Okay.
And, but anyway, yes, the guides had the conversation with her, what you said, hon, around her own growth. And they went back and explained how it got tied into even with her parents and how she grew up.
Well, yeah, because if she's used to hearing criticism, then these spiritual narcissists or people who are actually attacking her in some way, shape, or form to create a vulnerability, she hears criticism and thinks, how do I fix this?
Yep.
Instead of actually knowing or figuring out the tools to know what the real issue is, she's going to believe them about what they say the issue is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. And like the guide said in her situation that there's always some form of a diversion instead of her looking at herself and that this was one more, these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So by the end of the session, and I was so grateful she recorded the session and she had her pen and paper. She said she wrote a couple of notes, but honestly, as far as I could see it, unless she was writing like under the table, like, you know, the camera's not showing and her hands were just going constantly. She was engaged like the whole time. She was looking at me and like really thinking and really consciously trying to see how things got connected during the session. And she would say, oh, this is connected to this. Oh, you mean then that if my parents did this, then I'm avoiding it in this aspect with my partner. Nice. And then that makes sense to me, Karen, because I did this at work. And
her.
Then, yeah, like she sat there and really tried to put the pieces together in personal work relationships. Like she tried to place it in as many sections of her life as she could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then bringing it back to, my husband is like my mother. My husband is like my dad in this way. You could see her trying to place things as we spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of work in that. At the end of the session, there was a conversation just around the two of us just had around the spiritual community and how narcissists are in it. And how many people don't believe that. They think that if you're spiritual, that you're so in touch with your own spirit and the spirit world, that there's no narcissism coming into it. And I said to her, oh no, narcissists are all over in the spiritual world. They're writing books, they're teaching courses, they're doing channeling sessions, they're everywhere. Just like they're absolutely everywhere in life. And she said, well, how do we catch them in the spirit world? And I said, well, like the guide said to you, being in touch with yourself, Tina, like you have your own spiritual practice and to value that more than you value the people coming up to you saying that there's all these attachments and that they need your money or that they need power over you. Mm-hmm. If somebody's looking for your money and power over you, there's two flags right there that you're dealing with somebody that's inauthentic. And she went, oh, that might be the best thing I took out of this, or like one of.
Yeah, I'll say too, fear-mongering, right? Like yeah. If they're delivering a message to you to create fear within you, where there isn't an intention to solve other than to say you need me, that's an issue.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so good. Yeah. Very good, Kelly. Anyway, so that was we came to the end of the session. It was kind of bumpy at the very end because let me tell you, it was packed for a full hour. And I don't know. I just thought this was really valuable for people in all of the ways like that her session presents that our avoidance in our current life presently can mean that we sometimes we don't see it all the way back to our childhood and we don't understand that's where it originates. And that because of that, as we get healthier, we may not realize that the very people that we are struggling with are the people closest to us and the ones that have been with us the longest. And that may also be part of the avoidance because we look at that whole group of people and we think, oh, I don't want to get rid of all of them. And that's a scary thought instead of thinking, well, wait, maybe there are just, you know, steps and processes where I get healthy in a way that I can manage and a way that's healthy and good for me. And it's not throwing all of this out all at once, that there's a process. And I think that's one of the nicest things that I saw come out of her session to help her come out of her fear, that this was process. And that she would be working on that for the rest of her life. It wasn't something where there was an end goal, like on Saturday at 12 o'clock, or in 1 year, or I will be here when I sign my divorce papers. It isn't definitive.
No, I just shared this with Book Club the other day, and I'll do it again on the podcast. I guested on someone's show when we had a great time. She's a lovely human.
Oh, yeah.
And then she put out the cover art for the podcast episode that I did with her, and I did it all on people-pleasing. I was educating all about it, and she's got my nice little picture up there, and it says underneath, recovered people-pleaser, and I just, you know, palm to face, and was like, no, the whole point was that this is not... This you don't arrive. This is an entire lifelong process that you will be a recovering people pleaser, right? You have to stay active in this process. That's the entire message.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, I laughed just because like, nope.
Yeah. Can confirm.
Yeah.
Number two over here as a recovering people pleaser, that it is a lifelong process. Yeah. It's not something with an end date.
And it's not just people pleasing, it's self-awareness. You have to constantly be in an active role in your own life to be observing, to be making those minor tweaks and changes that you need for the purpose of health.
Right. Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for Tina's story today. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.